All right, great to see you. You should have lesson 12, Recognizing the Role, Preparing for Marriage, and part 2. So we already saw part 1, and this is part 2, and we've seen a lot of different things in our study. As you remember, I told you that it was a study in change. Once we do the study over, lesson 11 will be lesson 3, and lesson 12 will be lesson 4, because that'll be at the first of the study. But we went already through the roles of the husband, the wife, the parents, the children. We saw all those kind of things. But I thought it might be a great idea to talk about, before marriage. And we put together 4 things: dating, living together, premarital counseling, and the first year of marriage. And so we spent some time looking at the dating part. There's not a whole lot in the Bible, of course, about dating, but we talked about it. Then we spent some time looking at about living together and how that our culture's changed so much and what the Bible has to say about that. Then we started the premarital counseling, and we've been going through that one. And then, Lord willing, we might finish today. We might. If you want to, here's where I'm going to start, just to kind of review. I'm going to start at the part where it talks about the 3 kinds of love, if you remember that. And you probably already have the notes there, but it's at the back of page 2, which says different aspects of marriage, 3 kinds of love, and then we'll sort of get into more of the study. Let me remind you that tonight is the home fellowships. If you haven't ever signed up for one of those, I mean, it's really a lot of fun, because what happens is this: you sign up, list of 10, 15, 20 people, they pick out a home, somebody is the host, they call you and they tell you like what to bring, and then you get there, and usually we say from around 6 to 8, but sometimes people stay longer than that, and you come and you have food and fellowship and you get to know people. And what we do is we do it on a yearly basis. So if you sign up with a group, you'll be with that group this year, and then next year we'll reassign them, so you have opportunities to get to be with different people in different times. So that's what that is. That's tonight. So should have a lot of fun. Let me start with prayer. If you want to open your Bibles, just put them at Matthew chapter 19, and we'll be getting into that. There's 3 big things before we pray. The 3 big things we talked about: why would you do premarital counseling? So you can understand marriage as a whole, so you can look at the various aspects of marriage and roles, and so you can plan the wedding. Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our class. Thank you for the fun that we have as we come together. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look at the whole aspect of recognizing the roles, and we think about the family unit, and about the husband and the wife and the parents and the children and marriage and family and all those different things. And then even now, Lord, just thinking about a person getting ready to get married. What do they need? What do they need to do? What do they need to talk about? Those kind of things. Lord, thank you that your word gives us a lot of truth, gives us things that we can know and apply. But most of all, Lord, thank you for Jesus, and that whoever believes in him has eternal life. Teach us now, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We said this, that it's vital for a person to have premarital counseling. It's so that they can understand marriage as a whole, because marriage is complicated. We talked about that. Marriage is complicated. 2 people from 2 different backgrounds coming together, each having a flesh, a natural bent to sin, all of those things coming together. As the Bible says, a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the 2 shall become one flesh. So marriage is complicated. Then we said that marriage is a partnership, and the things like the goals and the roles and the money and the children, all of that coming together. So I think it's, I didn't even know I had that up there. So, it's really a powerful thing. Now, with that in mind, we said, okay, person's going to get married. What are some areas before they get married that they need to think about? And we call it the different aspects of marriage. But as we did that, we said, let's think about love for just a second. If you remember back a good while ago when we talked about love, we said that the 4 Greek words for love, eros and phileo and storge and agape, those 4 words, and they all relate in a different way. Eros is a physical attraction. Phileo is like a give and take. Storge is more of like a partnership. And agape is a commitment type love. Love, just love because you choose to love. We said that people need all 4. Christians can have all 4. Non-believers can't really have that last kind of love. That's God's kind of love. But everybody needs the physical attraction, the back and forth, the partnership. And then this, for the believers, we got the unconditional aspect. But we said that there, as Josh McDowell in one of his books, he says that there are really 3 kinds of love. And we brought this out last time. One of them is I love you if, I love you because, and I love you. And you have to be careful on the first 2. I love you if, it's conditional. I love you if you do what you're supposed to do. I love you if you treat me right. I love you if you're a good husband. I love you if you're a good wife. I love you if you take care of this. I love you. They're ifs. And see, the problem with that is, it may not come about. And so you can say, well, I don't love you because you didn't do what I thought you were supposed to do. Second, I love you because. I love you because you're pretty. I love you because you're handsome. I love you because you're smart. I love you because you're rich. I love you because of this. Let me tell you what. As you get older, you're not, you don't look the same. I mean, I hate to break it to everybody. I hate to break it to you, but guess what? You're getting older and you don't look as good. You know? So if you say, I love you because you're pretty, and especially the world's view of pretty, I mean, if I love you because you're rich, you could lose your money. I knew a man that actually had, seven homes in the United States. He had one in Los Angeles, one around the D.C. area, one in Amarillo, one in Borger, one in Dallas. I can't remember the other two, but I think one's in San Antonio. He had more cars than you could imagine. I mean, I remember one time he said, you know, one of my cars is always breaking down. I said, well, good gosh, if you got 10, sure, one's going to always be breaking down. My gracious alive. And at one time, and this is back years ago, he was making right at $1 million a month just on certain wells that he had. And guess what? In a 4-year time period, it was all gone. So you could say that I love you because you're rich. You got $1 million a month coming in. I think you're going to stay rich. Not necessarily. I love you because. Anytime you love somebody because, what if the cause is not there anymore? So that makes it the third one, and that is, I love you. And that's a no condition. It's a decision to commit yourself to the other person. And that's when you get married and you stand up there and you say, do you promise that? And you say, I do. What you're saying is, I am committing to you for as long as I live. It has nothing to do with ifs or causes or buts or ands or anything. It's because I choose to. Agape love is I love you because I choose to love you. God so loved the world that he chose to love us. When he created us, I mean, God is the greatest. And he didn't look down and say, you know, I need to help those people because they're so fun. They're so fun to be with. And I want to save them. And all. He chose to love us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. The Lord has let, you know, there's none righteous, no, not one. Listen to this. There's none that seeks after God. God says, I love you and you don't even care about me. Jesus came into his own what? Received him not. I mean, just think about it. God chooses to love. And I think that we put, I think we have a verse up there. Maybe not. No, maybe we didn't put them. Ephesians 5, Titus 2. Now, let's talk about what to do. And we said two areas, the things to say, before saying I do, areas that must match in the primacy of marriage. And so let's talk about things that must match. The first one was the spiritual realm. I think have we talked about this one already? How far did we get? Did we get all the way through it? Okay, let me just touch on it. Spiritual realm is what you believe, how you worship, how you match. People can say, it doesn't really matter if you match exactly. The truth is, you need to match pretty good. You need to believe the same. You need to believe the gospel the same way. You need to look at the Bible in the same way. You need to want to worship the same way. Because what happens if a person says, I believe this way and I believe this way, you're divided. And I talked about this, I think, last week, that there are people that have come into my office, they're wanting to get married, and we start to talk about what they believe, and that's the first time that they've ever talked about those subjects, because it's like taboo to them. They'll say, well, I don't want to run him off, and if I start talking about what I believe about Christ, I might lose him. Well, the problem is you're going to get ready to get married. What are you going to do then? And so the bottom line is, in fact, I've talked to some people, and there's some fired up young people I've talked to. They know on the very first night they're out with somebody, they don't talk about what they believe, to see if this person even matches them there right then. Because why would you go forward in a relationship or something if you don't match at all? So I think in the spiritual realm of what you believe, how you worship, it needs to match. And if you don't, you're going to have a lot of conflict. I have to tell you this story. I was doing a premarital counsel with a couple. I knew her for a long time. And she had come to Countryside. Then she stopped going to Countryside. And then she called me and said, I'm getting married. Would you do like our counseling and everything? I said, yeah, come on in. So she comes in and I meet this guy. And I find out that they've been going to a church that, let's just say it this way. There's a charismatic church, which is totally different. Totally different way to look at the Bible. Just different. So we got into all this and I started taking them through the counseling. And I got to this part and I basically said, okay, now you match in what you believe. And we started going and I said to her, I said, now I've known your background for a long time. So now you're charismatic and you hold to a different view of the gifts and a different view of how you do scripture and those kind of things. I said, you've changed all that? And she looked at me, and I could tell immediately she did not believe that. But she said, yes. And I could tell she wasn't telling me the truth. And I said, really? She went, yes. I said, okay. So y'all matching this. Okay. And then we went through the other things. And that session ended. We had one more to go. It was going to be like next week. And they left. And then I noticed they sat in the parking lot. And they sat in the parking lot for a long time. And then she got out of the car and she came in and she said, I don't believe that way. I said, oops. Whoops. Yeah, that's going to be a different way of looking at things. And you know what? They ended up not getting married. They ended up both coming to see me about a month later and said they started really thinking about it and they realized they're not going to match. And they decided not. And I said, I'm so proud of y'all. That's really what you do. So the whole idea of the spiritual realm. The second thing is the headship and roles. And I think we talked about that. And we talked about the husband, loving and leading and being the head in that sense and wife respecting and submitting and all of those things. We said that needs to match. And we talked about that. I think I brought it up last week about, sometimes people say things like, well, once I marry him, I can change him a little bit. Or once I marry her, I'll change her. And I told you last week about guys, before you marry us, that's the best we're going to ever be. I mean, we're putting on the best we can be. We never going to get any better than that. I mean, right, guys? Truth? We're the best we can be before because we're on the best we can be. And then we get married and then we're ourselves. And they go, where is the person I thought I married, So you don't marry a person to change them. You marry a person because you choose to love them and you want to spend the rest of your life with them. And so the whole idea of the husband's role, if you don't match, if the husband doesn't want to love or lead and the wife doesn't want to submit or respect and all the things we talked about in those lessons, you're going to have a lot of problems. I mean, it's just going to be problem after problem after problem. And one of the things that I've seen because people don't get premarital counseling because they're not really involved in church much, they're not really taught the scripture, they go into marriage just not knowing what the roles are. They go into marriage thinking, this is this and this is this. And they're so confused. And there are people who have marital trouble. And that's one reason we talk about mentoring couples. And I'll talk to you more about that just a little bit later. That people will come in and they'll say, we're having all kind of trouble here. And I take them back to the beginning. Yeah. Did you want to say something, Elder?
Well, like you and I talked this week, Katie Holmes blindsided Tom Cruise. Saying, you're not raising my child.
That's right. Hey, I told him to remind me of that. Think about this. And it goes back to what you believe. Katie Holmes... What is she? She's divorcing, what's his name? What is it? Tom Cruise. Why? They got everything, but she said, I don't want to be in Scientology. Well, I don't either. Let me be honest with you, right? Anybody want to be in Scientology? No, unless you're one of those guys. But, but when she began to see what it more was and what this is going to influence that child, she said, I don't want that.
His children were raised
inside. Right. All right. So it's going to be a big mess. That's why you have to match. And I think sometimes people say things like, doesn't really matter. And then a child comes along. And then you say, I think this matters. I say, well, that's a little late to think about this now, isn't it? So I think it's important. Husbands love and lead and wives submit and respect. And I've had them come in and what I do. Is oftentimes I'll take them and I'll say, now this is what I usually give people for premarital counseling, but I want you to go through this where I take them through the roles of husbands and wives and that kind of stuff. Because they've never had it. They've never understood it. Yeah, but I don't know if I can remember it. You said, how was it? Jean wants me to say it because she believes it. I don't know. Tell me what it is that when... Yeah.
No, just think of the guy having 51% authority, so he's got like
50%. I don't agree with this. No, that's that book I love. Basically, she's saying that sometimes when you hear the word submit and respect, submit means, he's just going to crush me. And she's saying in the book that he talks about, think of it like 51%. He is the head. God set him that way. And it's not like he's 100 and you're zero. It's like 51, 49. That's what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. If that's what you want to believe, you can't. I'm in real trouble, am I? No, no, 51% is exactly right. Let me just say that to you, right? But it's true. And if you don't match, and I told you this last time, that the husband will think the wife will be like his mother. That's what he saw a wife being. How his mama and his daddy got along, how, what she did. If she fixed breakfast for him every morning, you know what he thinks wife ought to do? Fix breakfast every morning. Because that's what wives do, isn't it? That's what you've known all your life. And one of the things, part of premarital counseling is, look, don't expect the person you marry to be like your mother or like your daddy. It's not going to be that way. Huh? What'd you say? Yeah, be careful on that one. Can you not fix this like my mother? Oh, boy, that's a bad one. Yeah, that's a bad one. That's a bad one. Jean made cookies one time. But tell us this story, baby. She made cookies and you left out the sugar or something, one of the sugars, and so she gave it away. We hadn't been married very long, and I went. And it was pretty terrible. And it's a cookie. You know, how do you mess up a cookie? But anyway, I forgot. It was real heavy. What did I say? I said something.
You said your strength's not cookies.
Yeah, I said, honey, I don't think your strength's cookies. But and then she found out that she left out sugar or something. And you know, it's a lot better if you put sugar in a cookie. I just want you to know that. It tastes a lot better. But anyway, so, yeah. Jean, I told her that story that Jean's daddy can fix anything. I can't fix anything. And I told her, I said, don't expect me to be like your daddy. I mean, I break commodes. I mean, I broke two up here for real. You know? When I came up here, you know, I'm the only one here during the day. Something goes wrong. I go in there, it goes click. That's probably not supposed to be here. It's supposed to be in there, right? So things like that happen. Who knows? Okay, the third thing, the third area is financial. Now, that is a biggie because, as Dave Ramsey would tell you, the leading cause, and let me say it this way. It's not really the way you say it. You say the leading cause of divorce goes back to money. The symptom that causes issues that ultimately have people have is money issues and finances. And what we're in a world today, and I was reading a book last night called Simple Church. I've already read it a long time ago. I decided to read it again. And they did a survey of like, a 1,000 people. And almost all of them feel financial strain all the time. People are in financial strain. And if people don't have their finances in order when they get ready to get married, if they don't have like a budget and they agree in these kind of things like this, in giving and spending and saving and borrowing and all those kind of things, you need to match. You need to say, yeah, this is what giving is like. This is how we should give. Because what if you say, all my life I've given 20 to 25% and he says, I've given 1%. I ain't giving 25%. Well, you know, what are we going to do? You know, you get, or the spending idea. And do you have a budget? And I mean, here's what I do. I don't call it a budget. I call it a spending plan. Doesn't that sound good? A spending plan? That's a lot better than a budget, but it's the same thing. All a budget is your spending plan. Here's my money. Here's my categories. This is what I can spend. This is how I do it. That's what it's all about. And you've got to do that. And so the whole idea of saving and borrowing and all those kind of things, what do you need to match in those areas? What I find is that most people, when they get married, they really don't make a budget. They don't think about it because they, sometimes as singles you say, well, I don't really need a budget. They think that, but they should. And when they get married, they're not as exact on it. They don't know what's coming in. They don't know what's going out. I'll never forget a young couple when I first came here, part of the 11. When I came, there were 11 people. This is two of the 11. They called me and they said, we're kind of in trouble. I said, what do you mean? So one of them was a student. She worked and he went to school. And they invited me to their little marriage student house and I ate supper with them. And they said, here's our problem. We don't know what we got. We don't know what we're doing with our money. We owe money to my grandmother, and we hadn't paid her forever. We're supposed to pay her so much every month. She didn't get mad or anything, but we're supposed to pay her. We just barely making it, and we're not giving anything to the church. I said, what are you talking about? Now, anyway, they said that. And so we sat down, and guess what we did? We made a budget. And we said, what all we got coming in? They actually had more coming in than they realized. And when we set it all down and made a budget, by the time we were through, there was actually a little bit of money that they were going to give to their grandmother every month. There was money they could give to the church. There was money for groceries. And it all balanced out. And it's just because they had never taken charge of their money. And that's, and I tell couples, listen, you've got to match financially. You got to know, you know, if one says spend it till it's gone and the other says have a budget, you're going to have trouble. If some say we don't need to save and some say yes, we do need to save, just trust. One say we don't need to save, you just trust God. No, I mean, you can trust God, but he says do some saving, right? In fact, he says the foolish man spends everything he has. That's a foolish person. So those kind of things. So if there's no match in those areas, let me throw them up there. The spiritual area, the roles, the finances. If you don't match well there, you might consider, and I know this is really hard, but you might consider not getting married just because you're going to have great conflict. Now, there's one other area that I throw up there that a lot of people talk about, and that is children. Here's what will happen. Sometimes they'll talk about children before they get married. Sometimes they won't. They get married. She says, I want two. He says, I want five. She says, you don't have to have them. You know? And he says, yeah, but we want them. And so they've got conflict because they never even talked about kids. Or sometimes, and this is sometimes it'll happen, he'll say, I don't want any children at all. And she'll say, okay. And then after they've been married 2 years, she'll say, I really want a child. And he said, now I told you before we got married. And they begin to, you know, so there's all kind of things that you got to deal with. Children, that's a big deal. When you want to have them, how many do you want to have? What do you think when I meet with people, how many kids do you think most people say they want to have? Two. That won't support the population. You understand that, don't you? If everybody had two children, the population would eventually die out. Got to have like 2.1, 2.7, something like that to have it. That's why in Europe, let me just tell you something about Europe. By 2025, which is how long from now? 13 years? 13 years from now, all of Europe will be Muslim. You know why? Because of population. There, the Muslim families are averaging 7.1 children per family. The people in Europe, Eastern Europe and Western Europe, are averaging 1.2 children per family. You can't support a population. It's got to have over 2.5, I think, is what actually keeps this population. So the population is going down while the Muslim population is going. By 2025, Europe will be Muslim. It'll be Muslim, population-wise and religion-wise, because of what's happening. Just, this is what it is. I didn't look it up. I think America, there's some changes happening too with different demographics as well, and a lot of families are having two and one, and that won't support the population either. It's you know, people don't even think about that. Yeah, Elder.
I've seen some of the figures. And do you know what the fastest growing religion is in the United States?
It's probably Mormonism, isn't it?
Muslim.
Oh, Muslim. Oh, Muslim. Okay.
The comment that they said of this email was that by 2025 there will be so many Muslims and there'll be the major population that they'll be able to elect a Muslim president.
That's talking about the United States in just 13 years?
And somebody added the comment and said, well, they already did. Yeah.
Oh, well, no comment on that. But let me just say this. I've seen the figures on Europe, and by 2025, if it stays exactly like it is now, it'll be a Muslim. It'll be Muslim, just from the population. So let's start having a lot of kids, right? Yeah, well, for some, yeah, yeah.
I have 19 great-grandchildren.
19? Good.
Great.
Thank you.
I have four children.
You have four children and 19 great-grandchildren.
And four of my grandchildren are not married yet.
So there's a good possibility. She's helping us. She's helping us keep it going. Let me see if there's one other thing. Let's look at planning the wedding. I've experienced planning a wedding recently. And planning the wedding, there are all kind of things. Like, one of the things in a premarital counseling, and this is what I do, I take them through the service in the premarital counseling. I'll say, okay, let's talk about how we're going to do it. How many guys you got? How many girls you got? Are there going to be candles lit? What are you going to do? How are you going to walk down the aisle? Are the guys going to come out this way? The girls going to come out this way? Who's going to take you down the aisle? You have to do that. One of the things that I think it really helps is that in the counseling, you've got all this, you've got things together, like the order, who's going to be the pastor, how many attendants, what about a reception, what about a rehearsal? There's so many things going on. And I've seen people, I've been at weddings, not weddings that I've run, not weddings that I've performed, but I've been at weddings in which the rehearsal took 3 hours because nobody knew what they were doing. And I mean, I just can't stand that, you know. The rehearsals I usually do are about 35 minutes. Does that surprise you? No, it doesn't. Because get over here, stand up here. Thank you, thank you. Go move over here, sit over here. Thank you. That's how you do it, all right? You're married. So I think the planning the wedding is important, and that's an important part of premarital counseling.
JB married my oldest grandchild. He's still married.
That's Kenny, isn't it? That's who we're thinking about. Yeah. When I met Kenny, her oldest grandchild, he's an incredible young guy. And now tell him what he does.
He's a brain neurologist at Baylor Hospital in Dallas, Texas.
Isn't he amazing? And, I mean, he was just one of those young guys that you meet that is on fire for the Lord when he's young, and he's like a rock. And he went off to college, and then he went off to med school, and then he's been all over the place.
He's been honored. That little thing, that little stent they put in your arteries to keep them, he invented that.
He did? He invented
the stent? The little stent that they put in your...
I did not know that.
He's been honored all
Is he getting any royalties for that thing? You know?
But you know, when he came home and told me that he was going to get married, I said, but she's older than you. He looked down into my eyes and he said,
yeah. Well, she's great. I tell you, I loved her from the first time I met her. Well, enough about us. Enough about us. Is the bell right? Is there anybody ringing the bell? Oh, both of them? Oh, okay. Well, we're not through, but we're almost through. Well, this last part is permanency of marriage. So, and the first year of marriage. We'll get that when I get back. How's that sound, okay? James Porterfield, you're going to be taking Sunday school for the next 2 Sundays. Am I right? So if he doesn't do very good, y'all better tell me, okay? Because he is really good. I got to be a part of his ordination service. He is an outstanding man right there, and he can teach the Bible. You're going to have a lot of fun when he does Sunday school for the next 2 weeks. All right, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a great time. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for families. Lord, thank you for the whole idea of premarital counseling and what people need to talk about and think through and be ready and all of those things. Because, Lord, the goal is that people be prepared so when they say I do, that they can be together and they can grow and they can learn and they can mesh and become that one and all of those things. Lord, thank you for our class. I just love our class. Most of all, thank you for Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.